You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Isaac's smiling at me. I'm trying to unravel my headphones at the last minute here. Welcome into the Gym Class here on KGYM. Great to have you with us as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour on a beautiful Monday here in Eastern Iowa. Got a lot to get to on the program. We'll take a look at the weekend in the world of sports, highlighted by the Masters, Iowa basketball news today, the latest as far as Major League Baseball, and a whole lot more. Love to have you join us on the text line and the phone lines as well. 319-366-1600. That is the text line. That is our phone line as well. Again, that's 319-366-1600. We are presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union, celebrating their 75th anniversary. Learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going to their website at dupaco.com. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes joining me from the southwest side of Cedar Rapids on the back porch today, as he, of course, the former sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, already talked about Isaac on the other side of the glass here today. Is got a good show coming your way, and you're listening to it on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio app, and stream as well. As Mark joins me here on, this is a beautiful, beautiful Monday in Eastern Iowa. Hope everybody had a great Easter weekend out there. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing good. Start to what appears to be a wonderful weather week here in Eastern Iowa. Hope everybody enjoys it. Good afternoon to you, Isaac, everyone out there. And sorry, I'm immersed in tax season right now, Scott. So get your federal taxes in by Tuesday.
Please do. Just you know, a helpful hint from all of us here at KGYM. We got to that over the weekend. Are we procrastinators, Mark?
No, my money's my money until I say it's not my money anymore.
So you know what I picture you at, what your back porch looks like right now? There was an episode of MASH when Charles Emerson Winchester had all of his family's tax documents all over the mess tent, and then they were blown about by a fan. But that's the punchline of that whole thing. I picture you right now in that setting.
Not far from wrong, Scott. but the wind isn't going to blow anything away here. So, yeah, got that going for me, huh?
There you go. 319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class on KGYM. As we do have Major League Baseball going on this afternoon, the Twins and the White Sox from sunny Minneapolis, where they are playing baseball. I think we got rid of the snow in the cities area. There is still over a foot of snow in northern Minnesota, from what I found out over the weekend. It is getting ready to go away, but there is a lot of snow up there still, and our neighbors to the north, at least in northern areas anyway. But right now, bottom of the seventh, two out, one on. And the White Sox behind Dylan Cease, who is out of the game right now. Kendall Graveman came in for the seventh, pitching right now. And Sox with a 4-3 lead right now over the Twins, and we'll keep you updated on that particular ball game. If Dylan Cease doesn't win, I don't know what's going to happen in this series, Mark.
Yeah, it's always interesting when these two teams get together, and we'll get Cal Eldred's take on the two teams tomorrow. On the Gym Class, but Cease is one of the best in the game. Twins got to him early with a one run, and then somebody named Hanser Alberto hit a three-run homer.
Backup infielder.
Is that it? Okay.
Backup. I wasn't sure. Yeah, backup infielder came through with a three-run home run. I got to tell you, I'm not immersed with the Twins uniform changes, man.
I'm kind of divided. I like the white and blue that have Minnesota across the front. The Twin Cities is okay. fact, the Twins are unbeaten in the Twin Cities uniforms, but I don't really like the one today with Twins across the font. I don't know. They got four different versions.
The font's a little funky to me. It's just not Minnesota Twins.
Translates to a W. I don't care.
Yeah, well, one of us is going to be happy tonight. 319-366-1600 as Mark's Twins and my White Sox go at it here this afternoon. We'll keep you updated on that particular ball game. Let's get things started today here on the program. News out of the Iowa basketball program as Iowa has picked up their first commitment out of the portal, at least first official commitment, if you will. Ben Cricke is going to be a Hawkeye. He is a grad transfer, a 6'9", 235-pounder out of Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Played for Valparaiso for his career so far. And not bad stats. You take a look at things. Averaged 19.4 points a game for the Deacons this past year. 5.9 rebounds, couple of assists, a block a game, also a half a steal per ball game. Shot 55% from the field. Almost 80% from the free throw line, which you got to like for a big man. Now he will step out and shoot the three. He is not a prototypical center, though, Mark. He's not a play with your back to the basket type of guy. Does this mean that Evan Bronze is still coming? The former Iowa City West player who everyone already has in the portal going to Iowa, even though there hasn't been an official designation as of yet, I guess remains to be seen because they're kind of a little bit different, but both 6'9", 6'10", right in there. You can't have enough bigs. That's for sure. But Cricke is more of a guy, Mark, that'll catch it at about the mid-range. He can take it hard to the basket. He can shoot the three at times. He can shoot the mid-range jumper. He can go inside, but he does it more off the dribble than with his back to the basket. But you know what? Like I said, 6'9 and 6'10 guys, you welcome them.
Yeah, you do. And to be first-team all-conference in the Missouri Valley on an 11-win Valparaiso team says something. And to me, what you can't replace is bringing in a guy who has played 122 college basketball games. I mean, that's a ton of experience. And look for him to move in right away. I don't think I was done, near as I can tell. Two scholarships remain. I got to believe Fran McCaffrey wants another big guy to come in. He's in on a Merrimack big guy. And it tells me also that Owen Freeman coming in next year out of Moline, 6'10", 6'11", supremely talented. You know, maybe not ready to step in this first year, may contribute. But Cricky's a guy that, again, has a ton of experience, and you can't replace that.
He'll only have 1 year of eligibility. He is a grad transfer coming in. Very good numbers, as we mentioned. And I agree with you. Iowa is not done yet as far as the transfer portal is concerned. You got to think, hey, we talked to Kevin Lehman last week. He said he believes Iowa's going to go after a guard, maybe a point guard, even though they have Tony Perkins. Josh Dix can play at the point as well as DeSante Bowen, of course. But I think Cricke is going to help. And maybe it's just maybe for the first time in a while we see Iowa maybe get away. You go back to Luca Garza, of course, during his great time in Iowa City, and Luca could step out and shoot the three, but Luca was also a guy that was a back-to-the-basket scoring threat, certainly was, as a player of the year guy. Maybe Iowa, this signals a little bit of a difference as far as the philosophy of Fran McCaffrey and the coaching staff is concerned. I guess it remains to be seen what's going to happen over the summer in the workouts, et cetera, et cetera. Your thoughts, welcome. What do you think? 319-366-1600 about this addition to the Iowa basketball program as Ben Cricke will come in out of Valpo. He was a deacon for 4 years. He will have 1 year remaining in Iowa City. And, yeah, I think the Moline, Freeman, the big out of Moline, I think is going to be a guy that is going to help certainly down the road. I don't know if he's going to help right away. I think he's going to get a little bit of a shot. Remains to be seen. What does this say about Ryan Mulvey as well? The confidence that the coaching staff has in Ryan Mulvey, although, like we said, you can't have enough bigs, certainly. You'll take all the 6'9", 6'10 guys that you can possibly have. And, you know, as far as I know, Iowa's still in the running, and I may have missed this over the weekend, I don't know, for the Bradley big, plus, like we said, Evan Braun's still rumored to be headed to Iowa City.
Yeah, as far as last word on Cricky, any three you get out of him is going to be a bonus. He only had 17 last year, which is nice, but he's going to be a mid-range guy, as you said, driving to the basket. Not a five-star rebounder, but capable at 6 or 7 a game. I wonder about Mulvey. He had, you know, a couple games where he gave some decent minutes. I tend to forget that he reclassified.
Yes.
He's a younger guy and maybe taking more time to develop.
Big guys always take more time to develop. We know that. Rarely do you see someone, unless they're a big timer, step in and be a game changer right away. And like you said, Mulvey going into his third year in Iowa City, as we know right now, is he going to be maybe taking the step up? This would be only his second year if he did not reclassify, as you mentioned. But, yeah, the obviously the roster right now, as far as Iowa's concerned, no Rebracha next year. You've got a Peyton Sanford coming back. But Iowa kind of bare down in the paint right now, and that is where Iowa definitely needs a little bit of help inside. 319-366-1600. I said Ryan Mulvey. I'm sorry, Riley Mulvey. Thank you, 7899.
Yeah.
Riley, not Ryan.
Yes.
There you go. If he would have played more, I would have known that. Right off the top of my head. Portal is going strong. We got the WNBA draft coming up as well. And that is the subject of our poll question at KGYMRadio.com. It's brought to you by Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement, located on Highway 1 West in Iowa City. They've been serving their customers loyally since 2003.
Question is, will we see two Iowa State players taken in the top 10 of tonight's WNBA draft? Yes or no? And that would be Ashley Jones and the injured Stephanie Suarez. They've both been invited to be in person at the draft, which would suggest they're going to possibly be in the top 10. No guarantees, but that's coming up at 6 o'clock tonight. Monica Zanano expected to be drafted maybe in the top 20, the Iowa center. So look to see some State of Iowa names in this year's draft.
Very true. I think Ashley Jones is a given. I think people would be just absolutely off their rocker if they did not take Ashley Jones in the top 10. She's that good and that talented and that athletic. She can play at that level. Not a problem. Stephanie with the injured knee, we'll see. We'll see. And injuries always tend to make people a little bit leery as far as putting their futures in someone like that. But I think she's going to come back. I think she's going to be fine and might not be a top 10, though. I would say one for sure, and if two, that'd be great. If not, Stephanie's not going to have to sit very much longer. A couple of texts coming in. One, talking about the portal for women's basketball, 0905, letting us know about the post from Stanford that is in the portal. Yeah, that is 6'7", Lauren Betts, who was a teammate in the U19 team a few years ago of Caitlin Clark. And let the rumors fly, I guess. Right, Mark?
Well, the problem is Iowa women don't have any scholarships right now. And which led me to thinking, you know, if Caitlin Clark is making the money we think she's making off NIL, she could go non-scholarship for a year, couldn't she? Pay her own way.
Very true. Or Gabby Marshall or Kate Martin. It's happened before, right?
I think it has, yeah.
It has. And that'd be the way for Iowa to get these players out of the portal. Number one, they have to want to come to Iowa City to play. And I've heard a very interesting take on that, by the way. Either late last week or over the weekend, I heard it and read it as well. And people, and I, it kind of caused me to think a little bit, Mark. And love to get people's opinions on it on 319-366-1600. Yeah, Caitlin Clark, yeah. I mean, it's all well and good. Well and good. But, you know, and I believe it was talking about the young lady from Louisville, the guard, and her name escapes me at the moment. Really good guard that played against Iowa in the regional final.
Haley Van Lith.
Van Lith, thank you. Saying, oh, she's going to be wanting to play with Caitlin again because they were teammates on that same team. Well, and then somebody chimed in, you know what? She's going to want her shots too. And if Caitlin is averaging 30, 32 shots a game, Van Lith is not going to be able to take 30 to 32 shots a game. Right?
No, and I was guard heavy with Clark and Marshall and Martin on the wing and Affolter waiting in the wings. So I don't see that happening.
I don't, but you never say never. You never say never. 319-366-1600. Men, 64-29, letting us know that Iowa is in the top five along with four SEC programs for the Wofford transfer. And there are scheduled visits coming up in the next couple of weeks for many of the transfer portal people. Cricky actually was there last weekend and obviously liked what he saw in Iowa City and made that announcement.
Well, if you're talking about the Wofford guard, he is committed to Iowa State.
Yeah, I just got that from Cyclone Tim.
Yeah, Jackson Pavelecki from Wofford, the guard, is headed for Iowa State. And again, Iowa has been rumored to be in on a Merrimack big, B.J. Mack, who's being courted by a lot of schools. I'm no recruiting expert. I'm basically reiterating what Sean Bach and many others and closer to the Iowa program are talking about.
That's the second Cyclone that T.J. Otzelberger has picked up out of the portal. They also got one, I believe, might have been Friday, whatever, right in there over the weekend. But that's a good get, 15 points a game. Last year. 319-366-1600. Or Dwayne would love to see what options Iowa has on that women's side for transfers. For example, how many players can even have someone, how many players can you have if someone walks on? If Ava Jones takes a medical redshirt, does Iowa have a free spot for this year? No, she's on, even if she takes a medical redshirt, which is 99.9% probability, or even doesn't play, she is still on scholarship. Her scholarship is being honored by Lisa Bluter and the Hawkeyes. So that takes a scholarship away.
Yeah, it does. And that other Iowa State recruit you talked about was Keyshawn Gilbert out of UNLV, 6'4", combo guard, originally from St. Louis, and he averaged 11.4 points per game. It's going to take, you know, a player already on the roster to play as a non-scholarship player or another Hawkeye leaving the women's program to even make it a possibility to bring in the Stanford center or anybody else.
Yeah. So I like what TJ's doing. Iowa State's got good recruiting class, a great recruiting class coming in this year, already starting on another one for 2024. But you got to sprinkle in some portal guys. I mean, it's nonstop recruiting now in college basketball, Mark. And again, 96-63 saying they feel sorry for Greg McDermott over at Creighton for losing Nembhard, their true tremendous point guard over there. I just feel sorry for the mid-majors. I mean, it just breaks my heart to see even Cricky, even to see all these guys leaving Wofford, leaving Valpo, leaving Bradley, et cetera, et cetera. I know that Kevin has talked about that the portal goes both ways, but it certainly – there's one lane of traffic is a lot heavier than the other lane of traffic. Am I wrong about this?
No, I don't think so. But it also, I think it also speaks to the level of talent in the mid-majors when you've got all these guys that you mentioned from the various schools heading to Power Five conferences. There's talent everywhere, man.
There is. There is. Our friend Matt saying, yeah, the Wofford kid hit 38% from three, and that is very important. Iowa State needs offense. They're going to get it from him. They're going to get it, I think, from Omaha Ballou next year. I don't see, like I said, I don't see any way that Omaha doesn't step into the starting lineup for Iowa State next year. He is that good and that talented. McDonald's All-American, five-star kid out of Waukee. He is he's the real deal. Real deal.
Yeah, and TJ has a Temple transfer who's trying to recover from an Achilles injury, who's highly thought of as well.
Yeah. 319-366-1600 at 326. Going to get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update for you, and then we'll come back. We'll kick around golf over the weekend, a little baseball with you as well. We have a green jacket awarded on Sunday, which I did not think was going to be the case Friday afternoon, but the Masters did a tremendous job of getting that thing back on schedule for the most part, and we will talk about that and more after an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. It's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway and First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They're online at emilshideaway.com. They're open at 4 o'clock, and Mark, this would be a lovely night to go out and sit on the patio at Emil's.
And a lovely week for it, really.
Yes, it was.
Major League Baseball in the Twin Cities at Target Field. It's still 4-3. The White Sox, bottom of the eighth, Twins with a runner on third, and two outs. Iowa football picked up a transfer over the weekend from Drake linebacker Tanner Pollock. He'll be a preferred walk-on, but could give Iowa depth at the linebacker position. He has 2 years remaining. Originally out of Waterloo West, he had 100 tackles last year for the Bulldogs. Odell Beckham Jr. is a Baltimore Raven, seen partying in Miami with Lamar Jackson over the weekend. We'll see how that pans out. And finally, Quinnipiac. I looked up the pronunciation. Quinnipiac won its first national championship in any sport ever over the weekend, defeating Minnesota 3-2 in overtime at the NCAA Hockey Championships. Not a great start to the overtime for the Gophers, but nevertheless, the school out of Connecticut wins it all.
Good for them. I mean, bad for the Gophers. They're a tradition-rich hockey program, but Quinnipiac is... they're tough.
Quinnipiac.
That's tough. They are tough. I thought Lamar Jackson wasn't going to be a Raven.
I don't know. You know, I think the franchise tag is out there, and he wants a contract, and I lose track of where the whole thing is, but he lobbied for OBJ to be a Raven, and maybe that'll keep him in Baltimore.
Remains to be seen. You never say never on anything in the world of sports. Right, Isaac? Isaac is agreeing with me on that.
Yeah, is Rogers a Jet yet?
Not yet. No, that's gotta hang around for a little while longer. You know that, Mark.
Yeah.
Ronaldo Lopez trying to come in and get that third out in the bottom of the eighth inning here. 319-366-1600. Coming up on 3:30, we're going to take a break, come back, talk golf with you and more when we return on the Gym Class on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast. And we're going to have plenty of sunshine this afternoon. It is going to be nice and mild with temperatures rising towards 70 degrees. Winds won't be too strong today. Then later tonight, clear skies, temperatures drop down into the upper 40s. Tomorrow, we'll have plenty of sunshine and temperatures will rise into the mid to upper 70s. It will come with some gusty winds at times. And the winds get a bit stronger on Wednesday and Thursday toward 30 miles per hour, but that will lead to temperatures up around 80. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
The Earth is a big ball of energy. ENJ Geothermal wants to help you tap into it. Spring is an ideal time to have ENJ install a geothermal system to heat and cool your home. An energy-efficient Climate Master geothermal system from ENJ Geothermal saves money on your energy bills, sure. But right now, you'll save even more with the extended federal and state geothermal tax credits. The folks at ENJ Geothermal would be happy to tell you all about it. Find out more at ejgeothermal.com.
Just when it feels like smooth sailing, your IT person leaves and rocks your entire business boat.
Network overboard!
Now who's going to captain your IT ship? Network Computer Solutions. They're ready to hop on board and keep you on course. Whether you're a tiny rowboat or a giant ocean liner, Network Computer Solutions will keep your business cruising along with pricing options that won't make you feel anchored down. Network Computer Solutions is your IT safe harbor. Meet them now at ncsei.com.
Compost is great for your garden and a fantastic way to give your lawn a healthy lift. And it's free at the Cedar Rapids Linn County Solid Waste Agency. You can also use compost around trees and shrubs and cover them with a layer of wood chips, which are also free at the Solid Waste Agency. Get your yard and garden in shape. If you're a Linn County resident, pick up free compost and wood chips at the Solid Waste Agency location next to Mount Trashmore. Get ours and all the details at solidwasteagency.org.
Tune into the Gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your engine better with new Syntec Full Synthetic High Mileage Motor Oil only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Syntec High Mileage is formulated for today's engines with over 75,000 miles. Now get 5 quarts of Syntec High Mileage and a MicroGuard Select Oil Filter for just $34.99. Limits apply. Visit O'Reilly Auto Parts for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Ray Magliozzi here for eBay Motors. Okay, easy now. You're teaching your kid how to parallel park. Ouch! Turns out he likes to do it by feel. Don't worry, eBay Motors has bumpers, trunk lids, license plate holders, and headlights. They've got lots of headlights. When you need parts, get it right the first time with eBay Guaranteed Fit. When you see the check, you know that part's gonna fit. eBay Motors, let's ride. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back. Monday edition of the Gym Class here in KGYM. Coming up tomorrow, we'll talk Major League Baseball. Cal Eldred will join us coming up on the Tuesday edition of the program. Looking forward to talking with Cal. Michael Taylor struck out against Ronaldo Lopez. As they go to the ninth, it's a 4-3 lead for the White Sox up at Target Field in Minneapolis. We'll keep you updated on that particular game. I want to tell you as well that coming up on Saturday, April the 29th at the DoubleTree by Hilton in downtown Cedar Rapids, it is the Z102.9 Power Up Prom. And yeah, prom. It's a 21 and over party. And a big thanks to Theater Cedar Rapids, video games, etc., and Reed Photography. You can purchase tickets online at kzia.com. Save $5 and get your tickets in person at the Theater Cedar Rapids box office. Tickets are on sale right now. Again, that will be on Saturday, April the 29th. Video games. That is the theme. You got to have a theme, Mark, to every prom, you know.
I had a theme to every prom. I know that.
I cannot remember what ours was. I remember very little about the prom, and not because I was not in a good state. Let's just put it that way. 9.
I better not go down the promo.
Yeah, I think we better just kind of skip over that. 319-366-1600. We have a Masters champion. Second time he has won a major. First time he has donned the green jacket. Fourth Spaniard to do so. And newly minted world number one as he takes over the spot from Scottie Scheffler. John Rahm is your Masters champion as Rahm put together a terrific weekend, had a 300 par 69 yesterday, and maybe more impressive, couple of things, one by four, and also he had the bad end of the draw as far as the weather is concerned, Mark. Rahm really ran away with this, especially if you take away the fact that he four-putted the first green for his first hole on Thursday, and still won by four.
Yeah, and Brooks Koepka really didn't have it. I thought he might win the thing, but he shot 75 in the final round and actually a two-stroke swing when they resumed the third round, and Rahm went on to win it. And a very gracious winner, the fourth Spaniard to do so. Shot 69 in the final round, and I thought there were several storylines that developed during this tournament, and we can get into any and all as you choose.
Yeah, we can. We can. Jeff starts out on the text line, how about Phil? How about Phil Mickelson? I did not see this coming. I don't think anybody saw this coming. By the way, we're efforting our friend Bob Herrig, from Sports Illustrated, one of the preeminent golf writers in the country, to join us coming up midweek here. Hopefully he can do that. He's winging his way home from Augusta as we speak, and hopefully we can talk with him. But Phil Mickelson out of nowhere, I mean out of nowhere, Phil hasn't even been doing well on the LIV Tour on the courses that they play. And all of a sudden, Phil shoots 65 yesterday, gets to second place, and for a little while there, you know, depending on how things played out, looked like he definitely had a shot at this thing. But John Rahm then stepped up on the par fives in the back and hit some very, very good shots. But Phil was terrific, and I don't think we're giving him probably enough kudos. That is the highest finish in, I believe, major championship history. The oldest top five, I should say, in major championship history, Mark. And that was accomplished yesterday at the age of 52.
Yeah, hats off to Phil Mickelson. That was some performance on Sunday. 65 by any player is terrific. But for Phil to do that, made the birdie putt on the last hole and conjured up some memories, but not quite good enough. He did tie Brooks Koepka for second, but that was one of the storylines that, you know, really was cool. It really was cool. And frankly, I've come to the conclusion, I don't care whether they're LIV players or PGA players. LIV players, 12 out of 18 made the cut that participated. LIV players finished tied for second, tied for fourth. Listen, it's still Brooks Koepka is still the same player. So is Reed. Mickelson not so much, but you know these guys. You know, you wondered if they could. They're used to playing 54 hole events, shotgun starts, no cut, 48 player fields, not facing nearly the competition as there is on the PGA Tour. I mean, for every Dustin Johnson and Brooks Koepka, you got an Andy Ogletree and a Richard Bland on the LIV Tour. I mean, it's just not as deep, but the top players on LIV are still some of the top players in the world.
I agree with you, Mark. Love to hear from you. 319-366-1600. Your thoughts about that. Yes, John Rahm won. He was a big winner this weekend, but I'm with you. I think the other big winner this weekend was LIV. Like it or not, I'm not a big fan of the tour. But like you said, the top players are still the top players. Three of the top six were LIV players. Patrick Reed, Brooks Koepka, and Phil Mickelson. Brooks Koepka had a bulky driver on Sunday. Anytime a pro gets a two-way miss, that is bad news for them because that means they have no clue what is happening. And their no clue is nowhere near our no clue. But if they're missing one way, that's fine. They can fix that. If they're doing double misses, that's bad. And that's what happened to Brooks yesterday. Just did not have it coming down the stretch on Sunday. But again, like I said last week, Mark, the big question is going to be going forward, how do you get the top players from the LIV Tour? A, do they deserve to be in these major tournaments? And B, how do they qualify for these major tournaments? I was talking to a buddy of mine from out of state yesterday, talking about the Masters and about LIV, and we both kind of threw our hands up in the air and said, you know what, we are both so happy we don't have to come up with that solution. Because you want to see, this was kind of the first tournament since COVID where everybody was together. Number one, we didn't have the complaining and the talking about, okay, fine, that's great, LIV, blah, blah, blah. LIV so much better. We didn't have that, which was great. They all had the courtesy to not talk about that on the grounds of Augusta National. But after watching it, I'm with you. We need Brooks Koepka. We need Patrick Reed in there. We need Cam Smith, even though he didn't have the greatest tournament. The top-notch echelon guys of the LIV Tour need to be there now unless things change. Like we talked about with the official world golf rankings, they're going to eventually fall out of there and their exemptions are going to go away. Cam Smith is fine. He just won the Open Championship. He is exempted for the next 5 years. And like I said, I'm not sure I have the solution. You just can't say, you know, go to Greg Norman and say, okay, Greg, throw five guys our way and here we go. I don't think that's right either, but I'm not sure there is a good way to come up with the field.
Unless you get away from the official world golf rankings, the majors will suffer because these LIV players are not accumulating, as you know, official world golf ranking points while they play on the LIV Tour. And unless you're a former champion, you're going to have to qualify in some other means. You know, the U.S. Open qualifying, you've got the three stages and the two or three stages, and you don't have that at the Masters.
Same thing with the Open Championship. You have that as well.
Yeah, exactly. So you're going to ask these guys, some of the top player, Brooks Koepka, to qualify for the Open Championship. You know, it's a sticky wicket because official world golf rankings, the PGA Tour is sticking with that. The Masters are sticking with that for now. And how to get around it, I really don't know, because I think the PGA Tour really still wants to penalize these guys for jumping ship. And in some ways, they're going to do everything possible to keep them out of tournaments. I'm not sure I think it's quite right.
319-366-1600. Good to hear from 8186. Great to have you back. I guess you don't have to like LIV to appreciate their showing. Need to figure out a way to make the rankings work. That's the $100 million question right now. You can have majors, yes, without the Reeds and the Koepkas and the Mickelsons and the Smiths. It's just not going to be as good. The talent is deeper right now, as you know, Mark, and as golf fans know, on the PGA Tour than it ever has been. You know, 154 guys tee it up. They'll tee it up at Hilton Head coming up on Thursday, and you can make a case for 100 of them having a good shot at winning. And that's great. That is fantastic. That is what you want right now. You can make the majors work. They would just be, you know, nth better if you had the top flight guys from LIV that are there. But that's going to go away pretty soon. unless something changes, and I don't know how it's going to change. I don't know if it will change. And like you said, the PGA Tour, I believe, is not listen, the deal is with the PGA Tour that they don't want the LIV guys to have their cake and eat it too. They don't want them to go off, get their money, and, oh, by the way, since you turned your back on this tour, you get still going to come back and play the majors and possibly beat the guys that are playing every week on our tour. I mean, that's what it comes down to in my thinking, Mark.
It does, and unless LIV changes its tournament format from 54 to 72 holes and expands the field from a lousy 48-player field, I mean, you can't compare 48 versus 156-player fields that you have on the PGA Tour. As you mentioned, 100 guys could win this week in this week's event. You only have to beat 40, 47 other guys on the LIV Tour. I mean, there's no cuts, as I mentioned, either. So in terms of accumulating world ranking points, I mean, it's an inferior tour. The LIV is an inferior tour because of the way it's set up.
Let's go to Jim in Keota joining us here on the Monday edition of the Gym Class at 3:46. How you doing, Jim?
Good. Happy belated Easter, boys.
You too.
It was fun watching Brooks Koepka. It was fun watching Phil Mickelson. I agree, we want the best players to play. However, if they change the world golf rankings just to get those types of players into these tournaments, and I'm probably done watching, they made their choice, and the natural consequences are going to be, as they don't accumulate points, they fall down the golf rankings. And who's to say there isn't another Brooks Koepka out there in a year and a half that we haven't heard of yet? So my point is, great to see them, but they made their choice, and I hope just natural consequences occur. So that's my thoughts.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it. 319-366-1600. And that's the thinking of the PGA Tour right there. Exactly what Jim said. You made your choice. You made your bed. Now you have to lie in it.
Yeah, it's a great call from Jim, as it is usually. It's along with you, I don't know the answer either. But in terms of the PGA Tour and the LIV Tour, it's just apples and oranges in terms of what you need to do to win a golf tournament. So if you're looking at me for the answer, I don't have it right now.
Brooks is back next year. He finished in the top 12. Top 12 and ties are automatically, if you are not a former winner anyway, or exempted in anyway, are invited back to the Masters next year. So Brooks will be back next year. He will also be in the rest. He was exempted into the rest of the majors anyway this year. Now, I'm not so sure about our friend Zach Johnson, Mark. This may be the only one that he's exempted in this year. I'm not positive. I'd have to do some checking on that. Is it 5 years out as far as the win in the Open Championship is concerned?
I believe so, but in many of these events, including the one this week, Zach is getting into these tournaments on all-time money exemption, and you can use that for 1 year. Whether that applies to the majors, I'm not sure it does, but I don't know fully in terms of this year's PGA Tour, unless Zach somehow, you know, wins along the way or, you know, moves into the top 125, whatever it may be. He's playing on that all-time money exemption this year.
2794 says, I'm with Jim. Emphatically, I'm with Jim. A lot of people are probably with Jim. He's got good thoughts. 349 here on the Gym Class program on KGYM as we talk a little golf with you as the Masters wrapping up yesterday. And by the way, kudos to Augusta National, as we mentioned, Mark, because they did something that they, if they have never done it, I know they rarely do it. And that is go off both tees. They did that yesterday. They wanted to have a Sunday finish. They wanted to avoid the Monday finish at all costs because of just obviously so many things that you got to go through when you have a Monday finish, not only for the workers, the volunteers, but also the players themselves and, of course, the patrons, not the gallery, Mark, the patrons at Augusta National. But they went in groups of three, and they went off both tees on Saturday into Sunday morning after the rainout, and then went off both tees, but back to their pairs on Sunday.
Well, it did what it had to do, and as usually usual, the Masters staff and the grounds crew, and I know they have a state-of-the-art drainage system there at Augusta National, but I heard reports that workers were getting there at 2 a.m. Sunday morning to get that course ready to go. And it takes a tremendous amount of effort by the grounds crew. They rarely get the credit that they deserve. But the Masters, I think, was determined to finish on Sunday. And it did just in the nick of time. It's a tournament unlike any other, right, Scott?
Unlike any other. It's a tradition unlike any other, I've heard, Mark.
Even though Jack Nicklaus and Gary Player think it's the fourth best among the majors.
It's a great week. But you look at it from, it's by far the weakest field because there are only 84 players that ended up. We'll get to that in just a little bit and comment on that. But you know, you've got now this year was the last appearance for Larry Mize and Sandy Lyle. They both said that they are not going to participate next year. They'll be in the par three, but they will not be in the tournament. Some more people will get in. They've had more than 100 in some occasions, and they've had as few as numbers in the 70s to tee it up. It's an invitational. They can do whatever they want to do, right? There are certain parameters how you can qualify to get to Augusta National, and you know that invitation is coming in the mail, but hey, it's just that's the aura of Augusta, if you will.
Well, it is. We can have that argument separately on the four majors, but I look forward to it every year, and Easter's one thing, the Masters is another, and as many times that they kind of coincide, and it's just really a terrific weekend, even though it was kind of choppy this year. But Zach Johnson of Cedar Rapids tied for 34th in this year's Masters, which doesn't sound great, but $92,000 he made, he'll take it. But for Zach, with everything going on, not playing, you know, a tremendous amount, doing work on the Ryder Cup team, which comes up later this year, to make the cut, tied for 34th. I thought it was a good showing for Zach. It's 11th cut made for him out of, I think, about 19 that have played. And then there's the ageless Fred Couples, huh?
Oh, what a job by Freddie. What a job by Freddie. Was amazing, making the cut at 63.5, and great to see him out there doing his thing. Go ahead.
Time short, but his Tiger toast.
You know what? They just talked about that earlier today, and I think this is the first time we are hearing that. Perhaps we won't get 4 days of Tiger talk before the PGA at Oak Hill. In bad way, Augusta is the toughest track and toughest property to walk, period. And with the health situation that Tiger has right now, 4 days of walking and playing competitive championship golf is not going to happen. I mean, the question now, I think, is more, I mean, for Tiger to think about, and it's up to him. I mean, the PGA Tour is going to welcome him with open arms, but you know, like he said I think on Tuesday in his news conference, as long as I think I can win, I will be out here. And that is the $64,000 question for him, because it's not doing anyone any good to see him try to get into the cut line. Would not have made it if it wasn't for Justin Thomas bogeying a hole, the last two holes on, what was it, Friday or Saturday? I don't even remember. He would not have made the cut this year. And then to withdraw, that's twice in the last three tournaments he's had to WD. And Masters is not a big deal, but it is in some of the other events, all the other events, because it takes a spot away from somebody else. And if you're going to WD, then you feel bad for the number one alternate out there, right?
Yeah, you do. And all things change. Baseball players don't last forever. Football players don't last forever. And I think Tiger is near the end. You know, it's not our fault that he got in a car accident in 2019 and further wrecked his body. But it's just painful to watch. And I think it's about the end.
We'll take a break. Come back, wrap things up here on the Monday edition of the Gym Class right after this.
Okay, on the grass, but out of the street. Perfect.
Why are you raking your leaves to the curb?
Tomorrow's our garbage day, so the leaf vacuum will be around too.
Leaves just go in your Yardie cart, don't they?
You can, but this time of year, you can also rake them in a long row on the grass beside the street, and the vacuum truck will pick them all up.
I don't have time to rake right now.
That's okay. They'll be picking up through April 28th on garbage day. You've got time.
How do you know all this?
I got the message from crnewsnow.com.
Oh, I didn't get the message.
Get the message. Go to crnewsnow.com.
Transform your deck with Menards. Pittsburgh Deck Cleaner removes dirt and mildew stains to restore your deck. Get a 2.5-gallon container for $14.99 after rebate. Complete your deck's makeover with Pittsburgh Stain and Sealant. It protects and highlights the natural beauty of wood. A gallon of Ultra Advanced Semi-Transparent Stain and Sealant is $34.49 after 11% rebate. Good through April 16th. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big.
Back with you to wrap things up on the Gym Class on KGYM. Todd Brommelkamp Show comes your way next from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock here this evening. And I'm happy. Mark is not quite as happy. White Sox beat the Twins 4-3 as Dylan Cease gets a victory in the ballgame for Chicago. And the rest of the Major League schedule will get underway in the next couple of hours. All the games under the lights coming up this evening. There were a ton of strikeouts at the end of that game, man.
Yes, there was. And that's just one of 162, right?
Right. Not as many games interdivisional this year with the new schedule that Major League Baseball has. And we will discuss MLB coming up tomorrow with our friend Cal Eldred. He will join us. Looking forward to having Cal here and talking ball with him and take a look back at the first couple weeks of the Major League season. Tampa Bay still undefeated. I know it's not the greatest lineup of teams that they have played, but you still got to play the games, right, Mark?
Yeah, you got to win them when you can, and Tampa Bay is doing that right now.
They are. 5-6 now are the White Sox. And what, Twins are 6-4 or 6-5?
6-4.
Okay. It's still very, very early as far as everything in baseball is concerned. Don't get too high. Don't get too low. Unless you're the Tampa Bay Rays. But there aren't a lot of Tampa Bay Rays fans around here. At least that I know of, anyway. Brewers playing good ball right now. How are your Dodgers doing, Isaac? They're not Dodger-like, but doing okay. Doing okay. So we'll talk baseball coming up tomorrow. Mark, have a great night, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sounds great. Talk to you then.
You've been listening to The Gym Class right here on KGYM, presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union. We're back with you tomorrow at 3 for a Tuesday edition of the show right here on KGYM.
At Lowe's, we're always bringing pros more ways to save on the brands you trust. Right now, buy a select DeWalt.